Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
And well, good to have everybody out tonight. Thanks again for coming. I do want to get a few announcements to you before we start tonight. Go ahead and just run up. Fifth quarter this coming Friday. Get all of our kids up here. It's all for, you know, the middle school, high school kids. Anybody else wants to come, just come and celebrate after the Poca Buffalo ball game. So it's a nice opportunity for us to hit the north side of the river. So anyway, that's good. Also, Bible Lab coming up here, starting there in a couple weeks, on the second, third, and fourth Wednesday nights of the month. There will be some teachings going on here. We will still be meeting on Wednesday nights. The first Wednesday nights having full service just like this, okay? But Bible Lab will be going on Wednesday nights, second, third, and fourth. If you don't have a small group that's meeting, we want you to go to your small group, okay? So, but if you don't have a small group, or if you want to come for some teachings and your small group meets on another night, it's going to be here, all right? We're going to do it for, you know, all the way up to the end of November. It's going to be good. We're asking you to register for that because I want to see how many people we have. That way we can make accommodations and see what room we need to be in and all that. So if you are interested in coming for that, please register on the Church Center app. It's going to be really good. Like I said, we're going to talk about the tabernacle. It's a great teaching and it's really cool. So anyway, make sure you register for that. And what else we got, Marianne? Anything else? You're trying. All right. The squirrels are slowed tonight up there. They're running on the thing. But anyway, one thing I do want to say to you is starting next Wednesday night. So this is a pretty big thing. We'll talk about it on Wednesday, next on Sunday. But Wednesday night next week, our Wednesday night services will start at 6:30. Okay? It will start at 6:30. So from here on out, from the first Wednesdays, we'll start at 6:30. Okay? So, put that down, mark that down. Those are pretty big changes, so it's going to be good. Also, you can sign up for small groups, Freedom. You can sign up for journey groups this weekend. We got great sign-ups. It's going really good. I think right now we're about 130, something like that, in journey groups and Freedom groups, so we're super excited about that. So our threshold, we like to be around 100 to 120. That's a pretty good, so we're definitely pushing into more than that, so it's a great thing. Things are thriving there. So anyway, make sure that you get signed up. Praise God. Amen. All righty. You guys all right? You can go to Job 41. I will be there in a few minutes. I want to talk to you tonight about a message I've entitled Pride Unmasked, or disguised, right? Or pride disguised is really what it is, but it's unmasking pride. It's been on my heart, and I want to talk about this for a little bit. So tonight, who has a problem with pride in here tonight? Okay, so I'm definitely here to talk to the ones that raised their hand. But the ones that didn't raise their hands, we're really going to talk to you tonight. Because there's nobody in this room that don't have a problem with pride. Nobody. And we don't want to think tonight this. We don't want to have this thought. Well, man, I really wish that somebody else could have heard this message. Or I hope my spouse is listening to this message. Even worse. But pride disguised. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, and you're going to be in Job, okay? But we'll get there in a minute. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So what is pride? Let's define what pride is. Pride is the inward attitude of the heart that exalts itself minimizes others, and refuses to submit fully to God. Okay? Pride is the inward attitude of the heart that exalts self, minimizes others, and refuses to submit fully to God. And there's many symptoms with pride. Many, okay? So I'm just going to shout out some stuff, and these are all connected to stuff that I thought about. Arrogance, conceit, egotistical, stuck up, self-admiration, unteachable, critical, always offended, perfectionism is rooted in pride, defensive and blame-shifting, control, consumed with what others think, sarcastic, anger, magnifying other sins and shortcomings and minimizing your own, jealousy, attention-seeking, self-sufficiency. These are all, and there's probably more than that, right? Because, huh? The human race, right? That always, but pride is dangerously destructive and difficult to detect. Okay? Difficult. Pride is very subtle. It lurks in the shadows. And a lot of times, when we have it, we don't know we have it. That's the challenge, right? Is to identify it. So pride has these different types of symptoms. So early detection is essential because pride can stay hid and it can be working in us and we won't know it until it begins to metastasize. Just like cancer. Many times cancer usually doesn't have much signs early. It's only after it begins to metastasize, it begins to cause problems or pain or things start to happen that cancer begins to be caught. It's the same thing with pride. Pride in our lives, right? There's nobody in here. I'm preaching to myself. We're preaching to everybody in here, right? Pride is hidden a lot of times, and it doesn't come out until it starts to metastasize and cause issues. Can I get a good amen here? So it's very important that we look at this. Many times we can reason pride away. We can reason it away. You know, stuff like, well, I'm just protecting myself from wrong influences, like I don't want to be around somebody. Now, again, there's dividing lines. It's, you know, you don't need to be around bad influences, but sometimes we use these things, and it could be just you think you're better than somebody else. Hello? It could be like, they're different than me, so I'm not associating. Protection, I'm just protecting this situation and trying to control it. It's really kind of trying to control the situation. Oh, what? How about this one? I'm just telling somebody the truth. I'm just telling the truth. I'm just going to tell them the truth. Yeah, but it's fine. But you know what? Sometimes pride can tell truth too, and it can be in the wrong way. Are you with me here? Pointing things out that need to change in your life, right? That can be, well, I'm just helping you, brother. I'm pointing this out. It could be pride, too. You just got to watch. And how about this one? You know, just men especially. Men deal with pride a lot because we don't want anybody to help us. Well, I'm just being a man. Men just do this. This is what a man does, right? So the thing is that that's not, you know, the thing is that you may actually come be missing out on what God has for you because, wow, I'm trying to be a man. So pride can actually be very, very subtle, and we have to know that. So look at this one. This is Proverbs 13:10. It says this one, only by pride. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. The King James actually says only by pride. The King James says, only by pride comes strife. Only by pride comes fighting. Only by pride comes contention. If you want to know, listen, if you're having problems at home with your spouse, I am telling you, if you are having marriage problems today, it is going to be rooted in pride. Every marriage problem is first a personal problem, and it's always rooted in pride because somebody's being selfish. Well, I look at your face. It's truth. If you're having problems, in your relationships. You got to always start, because why? If your fight and stuff is going on, it's only by pride comes this type of thing. Now, go with me real quick to 1 Peter. Oh, actually, you're in Job. Let's go. Let me scoot along. Just stay there in Job. Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. Look what it says right here. Let me read this one to you. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. And be what? Be clothed with what? Humility. The opposite of pride is humility. You've got to be clothed with this. Let me just make this quick comment right here. Clothed, right? So that means I have a choice. We are going to deal with pride issues, and we have a choice what we're going to bite on. We're going to choose what we're actually going to be clothed with. Clothed with humility, for God, what? He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. The word resist, it means to square off in opposition. It's like an army assuming a specific battle position to resist an attack. It's attacking and opposing something very intensely. God doesn't just disapprove of pride. It's a hostile enemy to him. So when you and I are in pride, God starts to stiff arm you. This will hinder our prayer life. It will hinder us. Well, what we got? No, the Bible says God hates pride. God says he loathes pride. He hates pride. Why does he hate pride? Because it was what got Satan kicked out of heaven. Was by pride. What was the fall of Adam about? What was the rebellion in the garden about? About pride. I want to do it my way. Right? This is why God hates it. He doesn't hate you. He hates the pride, because pride will keep you from walking in God's destiny and purpose. It'll keep you from walking in your inheritance. It'll keep you away from the things of God. He opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Let's read on here. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So it tells you right here, the enemy can gain access to us through pride. Through pride. So it's the tactic of the enemy. The Bible says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Our world is full of pride. We're living in a shark-infested waters of pride and destruction. The Bible says in 1 John 2:16, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Pride is it's the moniker of our world. And you and I can get sucked into this. Can I get a good amen here? God hates pride. When I put this down, pride is Satan's kryptonite for the believer. So when we're operating pride, we're actually reflecting the image of the enemy and not the image of God. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. That's campfire scripture. I want you to know, brother, that money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. It's not what scripture is. It says the love of it. And money is a thing that will expose pride more than anything. So the love of money is the root of all evil, because it is the number one thing that will show its face first with pride. So selfishness and pride is the root of all sin. So we got to learn. I want to just show you here. I'm just kind of walking you through a few things, because the enemy, he's trying to gain access into our lives, and we all can become prideful, and we don't want to stiff arm. We don't want to have God stiff arming us. We don't want God opposing us. We want to be in step with him, right? So how is this? We have to learn to be open to this. We have to be learned to let the Lord deal with us, our hearts on stuff, and let him pull stuff out of us that doesn't need to be there. There's nobody in here that's perfect. Amen. And we all need a Savior. And we all got walls up at times. We've got to work taking down and bringing down and let the Lord work on us. Now, let's go real quick here over to Job, the book of Job 41. So much here. Let's just read a little bit. I'm going to stop. We'll stop and make comments. I'll probably skip around here for the sake of time. We'll just kind of see. Pay attention to what Job says. Now, this is God's response. This is the back of the book of Job. So God is starting to respond to Job about all of his misconceptions about who God is and the situations, right? So God starts to correct Job in his theology. Verse 41, he says, "Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook?" Now, let me stop here a second. Leviathan, let's talk about this word Leviathan real quick. I think it'd be all just advantageous for us to go ahead and define it now. The word Leviathan, the word means to twist or to coil. So the word carries the idea of a twisting and coiled creature. It's defined in different types of commentaries as a sea monster, a dragon, a large aquatic animal, a serpent, a crocodile. So it's a twisting, coiling sea monster. And it's used a handful of times. This word Leviathan is used a handful of times throughout the Old Testament. But it's used in the Old Testament scripture as a symbol of chaos, a symbol of pride, an untamable spiritual power that only God can subdue. So Leviathan is a type of pride. It's a type of pride, an untamable power that's at work. So the writer of Job turns this pride into a very dangerous creature. So let's read on. He said, listen, can you actually catch this thing? Job, can you be the one that actually gets this thing out of the water? Are you the one that can lower a hook and actually bring it out of there? Can you actually catch it? The answer is no. So read on. Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird or with a pet? Or will you leash him for your maidens? Will you put him on a leash and try to have him as a pet animal? Playing with him? Will your companions make a banquet of him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. You'll never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. I will not conceal his limbs, his mighty power, or his graceful proportions. Who can remove his outer coat? Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? He's telling you, this thing is a beast. This Leviathan is a beast. It's got teeth. It's something you don't play with. It's something you don't play around with. You don't try to put it on a leash. You don't try to make it a pet. You don't keep it around. Look what he says here. He said, his rows of scales are his pride. Shut up tightly as with a seal. One is so near to the other. The scales are so near to the other that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. His sneezings flash forth light. His eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth comes burning light. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out of his nostrils as from a boiling pot, and a burning rushes. His breath kindles coals and flame goes out of his mouth. It's like his flaming dragon, right? Strength dwells in his neck, or he's stiff-necked and sorrow dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together. They are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is as hard as stone, even as hard as the lower millstone. When he raises him up, the mighty are afraid because of the crashings. They are besides themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it cannot avail, nor does spear, dart, or javelin. He regards iron as straw and bronze as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. Darts are regarded as straw. He laughs at the threat of javelins. His undersides are like the sharp potsherds. He spreads pointed marks in the mire. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He leaves a shining behind him. One would think the deep had white hair. On earth there is nothing like him which is made without fear. Now look what it says in verse 34. He beholds every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride. This Leviathan, after all of that explanation of this beast and this creature, he said, this is a ruling spirit, a king ruling over all the children of pride. This is a spiritual being called pride. And God begins to tell us through the book of Job and chapter 41 that this beast is this Leviathan, this coiling, this snake, this serpent, this sea beast. It's dangerous. We don't need to be playing around with it. So it's a spiritual entity trying to control and to dominate people. Now remember now, pride is the inward attitude of the heart. And this creature can be lurking in the subterranean caverns of our souls. This Leviathan can get a place in us. And it will try to destroy us if we don't detect it. Now, who is this Leviathan? Right? Pride. But through progressive revelation, we start to find out a little more. In Isaiah 27, verse 1, it's mentioned again. Let's put that one up there. That'll be a good one. Isaiah 27, verse 1. In that day, the Lord, with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. Now, it says the Lord's going to do that. Right? The Lord's going to do that. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the Messiah that's going to come and it's going to crush the serpent's head. Genesis 3:15, I'm going to send the seed of the woman and this seed's going to crush the serpent's head. When we get more revelation out of Revelation 21, verse 9. So that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan. So we have progressive. Who is this Leviathan? It's a spiritual being, that is the spiritual being of pride and chaos, and it is the devil. It's our arch enemy, right? It's the one that actually is the one, the ruling power, and the way he operates is through pride. This is the way he operates. That's why we can't be ignorant of his devices, right? He tells Job here again in verses 1 and 2, he said, Job, can you actually pull this thing up out of the water? Can you actually tame this thing? Can you actually put a reed through its nose or pierce its jaw with a hook? He said, you can't even do that. And he says that in verses 8 and 9, he said, you laid a hand on him? If you lay a hand on him, remember the battle because you'll never do it again. Right? He says in verse 9, he says, indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. It's saying this, humanity cannot defeat pride by itself. Look what it says in verse 8 in the New Living Translation of Job 41. You got it? Okay. That's fine. I just wanted to see it real quick here. We'll let her find it there real quick. So God is wanting Job to understand that his inability to deal with this, he has an inability to deal with the spirit of pride. He can't do it. He can't do it. Look what it says. If you lay hand on it, if you lay a hand on it, you will certainly remember the battle that follows. You won't try it again. What's he saying? You can't take this on by yourself. You'll get whipped every single time. You'll get whipped every single time. You guys are right here. So, we read through this, again, just trying to show you some things. Let's shine some light now on Leviathan. And the scripture gives us some pretty interesting things here in verses 3 and 4. And actually, there's some questions that's asked that actually gives us insight on how Leviathan is actually going to work. Now, all these questions are no. There's not a yes in this. So let's look at verse 3. It says, will he make any supplications to you? Question mark. No. What do you mean supplication? Supplication is a humble request for help or mercy from someone. Leviathan is always this, self-sufficiency. Pride is, I'm talking about unmasking it and unmasking this pride. How does it start? It starts by self-sufficiency, that you will do it on your own. This is the subtle ways he responds, and this is the subtle things that happen. Self-sufficiency. Supplication is a humble request for help or mercy from someone. So if I want to shine light on Leviathan, the way this thing is manifesting is through self-sufficiency. What do you mean self-sufficiency? Sufficiency. It starts first with God. What do you mean starts with God? The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, we read it a minute ago, that you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. How? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The way that you humble yourself underneath the mighty hand of God is actually casting your care upon him. If you and I are trying to carry our cares by ourselves, it's actually evidence of pride in our lives. Leviathan has its twisted coils in us. It starts with God. A self-sufficiency. I'm asking a question tonight. Do you pray about your life? Do you pray about your situation? Do you pray about them? Praise God. I humble myself before you, God. Because why? We are all DIY people. We try to do it ourselves. It's just in us. It's humanity. It's stinking flesh. It's the stuff we deal with every single day, right? That I can take care of myself. Again, men are the worst. Come on, somebody. We've been talking about it in our men's group all summer. It's a shame. I'm just going to get on the men in here a minute. It's a shame when we have a prayer line. I'm sure there's some men that have some problems, right? And the only guys that respond are these dudes over here. You ever saw that? You ever noticed it? You know why that is? They're broken, and they don't have anywhere else to turn. You think you can fix it yourself. They know they can't. Well, don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. But that's the truth. I'm not saying, man, we got to get to the place we're vulnerable again. And listen, quit shutting it off because, listen, you're just revealing there's Leviathan in you. That it's got its coil, it's twisted itself inside of you. One of the commentaries, it says like a corkscrew. This Leviathan means to twist or coil. It's like a corkscrew gets in you. It's hard to get out. Come on. We got to watch for Leviathan. We got to watch for this creature that's got teeth. That we can't make it and pet around with it. We can't put it on a leash. We can't go and play around like a bird with this thing. This thing is dangerous. It's dangerous. So it's a daily decision to say like this. This is what it's, not my will, but your will be done, oh God. He's good at being God, church. Amen. He's good at being God. He just got to get it in his hands. Prideful people don't pray and they don't ask for help. I'm going to say it again because it felt pretty good, and that's for the people on this. Prideful people don't pray. If we wake up every day knowing that I need him, I'm not talking about begging. You guys know who you are in Christ. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting up every day and say, Father, today, direct my steps. Just like Tommy says every day, direct my steps. God, today, I just turn my life over to you. Proverbs 16:3, I commit my ways unto the Lord. Therefore, my thoughts are established. I thank you, Lord God, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. This day, I give you my life. We use God. I'm thankful we can do this, but we use him like a card when we need something. He is my life. He is our life. I'm not talking about 45 minutes in a prayer room. I'm just talking about 45 seconds of turning your life over to God. To God, today, this is yours. You put breath in my lungs today. It's what the Bible says. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he can exalt you in due time. Prideful people don't pray. Pride lurks, right? It lurks. And it is, this is what, when you start having success and you start walking in blessing, watch out. Watch out. Right? Watch out. If we don't pray, we're not dependent, we're dependent on ourselves, dependent on our talents, on our gifts, our abilities. Amen. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Due time, due time. Kairos, due time. Kairos, harvest time. It's coming. I'm telling you, it's going to be at the right time. Just keep humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. And the next place that hear about this whole thing about self-sufficiency is with others. Not just with God, but I need others. I need people in my life. There are times in life we must all admit that something is beyond our capacity that we need and that we need help. Unwillingness to recognize our own shortcomings and or the willingness to recognize our own shortcomings and say, you know what, I need somebody else's help. I don't need your help. Well, it just shows you're unteachable. When you say, I don't need anybody's help, it's revealing that you're right. You think you're right and everybody else is wrong. You guys all right here? You can just go right down the line here about this, and I just don't want to do that. But we got to take care of Leviathan. And you take care of Leviathan first, saying, we need help. The second thing, question he asked here in verse 3, he said, will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? No. The second thing is words. Pride is revealed in words. People that are prideful can't speak kindly. People that are prideful can't speak loving words. People that are prideful can't speak truthful words without being harsh. Prideful people are critical with their word choices. If you notice what it says here in verses 19 and 20, it says, out of its mouth, this Leviathan's mouth, go burning lights, sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out of his nostrils. That's anger. A prideful person, their words, it's revealed. So listen, I'm just, all of us in here, like I know we all got our halos on tonight. I get it. We never get unkind. I understand. That's for the people that's listening to this. I understand that. But I'm telling you something. Listen here. If you want to identify pride real quick in your life, all we got to do is look what we're saying. So what's saying? Well, amen. Facebook, all that stuff. Feeling like we got to comment on everybody's stuff and let everybody know. It's just revealing things about us. Thank you, Alex. Amen. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 18:23. The poor plead for mercy. The rich answer with insults, hardness, roughness. So the spirit of pride calls us to think we're better than someone else. Got teeth. It's what it says here in verse 14. Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? Teeth. That's the mouth. It's the mouth. Pride. Pride manifests as a critical spirit and complaining and negativity. Thankfulness is the language of humility. It's the overflow of a heart of gratitude. Humility, write this down. This is good. This is a tweet. This, if you want to post anything on Facebook, post this one right here. You ready? Got it? Humility is the anti-venom of Leviathan. Humility is the anti-venom of Leviathan. Notice the next thing here. I got to move on. Verse 4, he says this. Will he make covenant with you? It's their question, right? This is how, will he make covenant with you? No, no. Pride doesn't make covenant. Covenant, an agreement of trust and submission and faithfulness. Pride refuses to submit, refuses to obey, and refuses to stay faithful. If you notice what it says in verse 24, it says his heart is as hard as stone. His heart is as hard as stone. People, listen, we have people today can't stay faithful at their jobs. When you, well, listen, when you went to work for somebody, you went in covenant with them. People walking out, none of you guys, but walking out on their marriages, people walking out on their marriages. They have spats with somebody in the church and they get offended and they walk out the door. Come on, somebody. Offense. If not dealt with, if we don't deal with offense, it turns into the root of bitterness. That's why when we have problems, we need to talk. Right? Because we're in covenant. Leviathan takes everything too personal and lives offended. Easily triggered about everything and anything. Cannot take constructive criticism. I'm telling you, covenant demands a soft, responsive heart. Pride makes us rigid and defensive and resistant to change. It's what it says that he has, this Leviathan has a stiff neck. That means he's stubborn. Pride's stubborn. Come on, somebody. If you're stubborn, it's revealing something about us. You guys all right? Okay. Well, let's talk about faith. It's okay, let's put faith. So you see, maybe pride in this whole deal, you see yourself as too good to perform a certain task or associate with certain people. Right? I'm talking about maybe in the church. Or maybe it's the person you work with. Covenant requires humility. A posture of dependence on God and mutual submission to one another. Does pride make covenant with you? No. Pride doesn't make covenant. We got all kinds of people today don't. They're not committed to much of all, of anything. You know what's revealing? We live in a world full of pride. The next thing it says here is move on. Last thing is number 4, right? Will you take him as a servant forever? Nope. Because pride doesn't serve. Pride doesn't serve. The Bible says that Jesus come. The Bible says that Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. The one that had the right to be entitled was him. But he took a position of a servant. Why are we having serving problems in the church? Let's ask that question. Why do we have serving problems? Not just here. And we got good servants here. We need more, but we'll take what we got. But I hear it all the time. I was in a coaching roundtable this just on Monday and Tuesday. Everybody's saying the same thing. People don't want to serve. People want help. It's pride. It's Leviathan. Leviathan's got a place in him. Because it's about them. Because if you're going to serve, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some inconvenience. And what it's revealing is people in the church are full of Leviathan. It's got a stronghold. Well, amen. help people. We got to help people. This was Jesus' way of life, was serving. Serving. I mean, he's the one that, in his final words, the 13th chapter of John, 14, 15, 16, the last words of Jesus, before he goes and starts talking about the Holy Ghost, before he goes and starts talking about being one in chapter 17, before all that, you know what he does? He says, when supper being ended, Jesus got up and took a towel. And he washed all of their feet, even Judas. He said, I'm setting the example for you. He even told him, he said, what you're doing right now, you don't understand, but you will. Because when the Holy Ghost came, come on. Now that same love that was in him got on the inside of them. And now it was not hard. It was actually, let me say this, not was, wasn't hard. Now they had the power to do it. Leviathan, will you take him as a servant forever? Leviathan doesn't serve. We'll close this. What needs done? What can I provide my supply to? What can I look for ways just to be a blessing? Be a blessing. We was in our membership class the other day, and there was a couple that, I'm just taking just a quick sec here, and we're going to celebrate the win together. And there was a guy that came, and him and his wife and three kids had been coming the last 2 weeks. Well, I had people signed up for the membership class, and we were there, and this guy walks in. It's great. Like, how you doing? He said, I'm here tonight because you said that if you want to know more about the church, that you'd come to this meeting. I respected that so much. He actually told me, I hope he doesn't, I mean, he might watch this, he may get upset. I'm sorry, I'm just telling you, it's a great story. But he said, we had just left a church, and he said, some things, and he just talked a little bit about that. And then he said, I don't have a whole lot of time to waste. He said, so I'm here to find out what you got to say. I went, I wish everybody was like you, man. He took it serious. But he said the first time he walked into this church, he said it was over. He said, I'll be honest with you, it was overwhelming. He said, but you guys, you opened doors for me. You showed me where to go. You took my kids. Checked us in. We never checked in kids in before. And you guys checked my kids in and had people wanting to take my kids back to the back and just show us around. He said, it was a wonderful experience. You know what that is? That's great in God's eyes. It ain't about me. It's the dude that grabs Billy Graham. When Billy Graham and his companion was the two, I think they worked together, I think, for all their crusades. I can't remember his name, but he was walking out. They were leaving because the tent meeting was so full. This is when he was a kid. And there was one man that grabbed him by the shoulder and said, hold on, I'll find you a seat. And Billy Graham got saved that night. You know who's great in the kingdom? That guy. Come on, somebody. Listen, if that don't wet your wood, that wasn't right. Back that up. How's that say? Hold on. That's all right. If that don't fire you up, your wood's wet. That's it. There you go. I got it. Just praise the Lord. Just stay with me a minute. All right, I got it. I know it's late, but let me just show you this real quick, okay? Look at verses 13 through 17 real quick, and then I'm going to give you three quick things to leave you out here. It says this right here. It says, who can remove his outer coat? Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his faith with his terrible teeth all around? Verse 15, his rows of scales are his pride, shut up tightly as with a seal. It's like an armor. Pride's like an armor. Look what it says. These scales are so near to each other that no air can come between them. What is air? What is a type of wind? What's wind? He said, with pride, there's no moving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't get access to your life. The Holy Spirit can't breathe on your life. The Spirit's work can't be done in you. The Spirit's work will not be accomplished. Think about this a second, just in your homes. All of us that are homes. If we have pride in our homes, the Holy Spirit can't move. Our relationships won't have life in them. Come on, church. If I got pride, the Holy Spirit can't move through me in our workplaces. You say, well, Pastor Paul, what do I got to do? Let me show you the remedy real quick. At Isaiah 27, verse 1, in that day, the Lord with His what? His severe sword. His hard sword. His difficult sword. Great and strong will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. Fleeing serpent, twisting serpent, the dragon or the serpent or the reptile in the sea. Evasive and a twisting serpent that bends, and pride bends reality around itself. The dragon in the sea. Anytime you see the word sea or water in the Old Testament, many times, not all the times, Holy Spirit is also in that too, but many times when you're talking about water, like the flood, all that, in ancient Near Eastern culture, the water was a place that was scary. It was chaos. There were sea monsters in there. They didn't know that. They say there's some crazy stuff lived down there. And pride is in our hearts is just like this. It's untamable, it's twisting, and it's destructive. So what's the remedy? Number one, the power of the cross. How did Jesus defeat the devil? Through the cross. The power of the cross. The enemy is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. You've got to cling to the cross every day. I'm giving you the remedy real quick. You've got to cling to the cross every day. What do you mean cling to the cross? I've got to remind myself daily that Jesus won the victory that I could not. He couldn't do anything with Leviathan. Job said, Job, you can't do anything with Leviathan. He said, but I'm coming with my severe sword and I'm going to defeat him. Every day I'm going to remind myself of the power of the blood of Jesus and the cross in my life, and it has defeated Leviathan. The second thing is this. The remedy is the power of the Spirit. You can't conquer pride without the Spirit. Humility is a fruit of the Spirit. The old man is selfish, the new man is full of humility, full of the Spirit. It's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. By the power of the Spirit. Romans 5:5 says the Spirit of God has poured out the love of God in your hearts. You now have the capacity to be able to conquer pride because the power of the Spirit. It's important for you and I to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Every day, walking in step with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The remedy for Leviathan and defeating Leviathan is this. The power of the cross, the power of the Spirit, and the power of God's Word. He said the severe sword. The severe sword. What is the sword of the Lord? It's His Word. The power of His Word. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth will what? God resists the proud, and He gives grace to the humble. What do I got to do? I got to continue to surrender to the Word. What does the Word say? What does God say? And what God says challenges us. So now, if you're going to, Leviathan will try to rear its ugly head. What are you going to do with it? Am I going to submit to the word, or am I going to do it myself? I'm going to handle this according to the word, or I'm going to handle this according to my ways. So with the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God's word, that the provision came through the cross, you and I can defeat Leviathan. You and I don't have to be tangled up and coiled up with pride, because pride is destructive. It'll ruin relationships. It'll ruin your life. You'll make terrible decisions. You'll make terrible money decisions with pride. Terrible money decisions. You'll actually make crazy decisions because of pride. Nobody in here is exempt. Watch out for the monster of Leviathan. The power of God's word, the power of his spirit, and the power of the cross. Reminding myself every day, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. You can do this. We're going to be a people that's going to walk free of pride. That way the wind of the Holy Spirit can blow into our lives. Amen. That's what I got. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the unmasking of Leviathan. We thank you for the unmasking of Leviathan. We thank you for the power of the Spirit and the power of your word that unmasks Leviathan. Lord, I pray in this room tonight, I pray, Lord God, that we all would be keenly aware lest Satan should get advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. Father, I thank you for a keen awareness in our lives. When we smell the hint of pride, that we will deal with it. Lord, I pray, God, for early detection. I pray, Lord God, hallelujah, that, Lord God, that we will run the battery of test. That we'll run the battery of test. We'll have self-examination, that early detection can be possible. Before this thing gets in and gets its coils, gets its the twisting into our lives, and we can deal with it with a severe sword. We thank you, God, tonight for that. I pray over these people. Thank you, God, for their heart to be here tonight. Thank you so much for what you're doing in this church, what you're doing in their lives personally. I'm asking, God, that you would just continue to bless them, bless their families. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. We love you. We give you the praise tonight. Jesus, we thank you for the victory of the cross. The power of the cross. That you made an open show of principalities and powers. Triumphing over them in the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. It's not just your victory. I'm thankful, God, it's my victory because of you. You've given me the victory too. I'm in you. I'm in you. It's Christ in me, and I am in Christ. Therefore, we share victory. Therefore, we share, hallelujah, in the inheritance. Let us be a people, Lord God, that will stand and declare the word of God over our lives, over our families, over our homes, over our workplaces, God, that will declare the word of God. And Lord, we'll see you move mightily. We love you. We thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you, sir. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, watch out for that creature out there.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.